This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me today is Greg Miller.
Scoop!
Mitch Dyer is here.
Scoop!
And Andrew Goldfarb Scoop. Is also here. Is this correct? Is today, August 6th, 2012, the first time anyone from Microsoft ever acknowledged publicly that there is a new Xbox coming?
It is. And it's funny, I was talking about this on Friday about how I thought it was weird that this hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, we did.
Well, you're a little Nostradamus. Congratulations.
Yeah, this is the first time.
What has happened is a Microsoft employee, his name is Brian Hall. He's a general manager of Windows Live. He was doing an interview where he's talking about the new Outlook.com, and he's talking about their upcoming devices that will be using Windows 8, yes? And he's dropping names like new version of Office, new Windows Phone, and the new Xbox.
He's dropping names all over the place.
Look at me, I'm a star.
Yeah, I you say he's the general manager of Windows Live.
We'll say that.
For how long?
I say that.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Really? You think,
I was surprised this happened. I thought this would eventually happen.
Did he backpedal as soon as he said it?
No, they just didn't acknowledge No. He runs out of the room.
The interviewer didn't even like...
He didn't follow up.
Exactly. Yeah. I was surprised no one followed up. But yeah, he just said it and then they moved on. So. I don't know. And we reached out to Microsoft for comment. They wouldn't say anything. I mean, they
shocking.
He's never heard of this man.
They've disappeared him already. They knew a guy.
They disappeared him.
Isn't that what it's called?
I like it. Yeah. If it isn't,
that works.
I like it. Fine. Yeah.
So obviously, you know, not a big secret. We know the Xbox 720.
We've seen the development kit.
Yeah.
We've seen the development
kit. The job listing.
We know that it's codenamed Durango, but that's really interesting. This is the first time Microsoft has ever publicly acknowledged that they're making new Xbox, and it is sort of off the cuff, sort of like what we were talking about on the show last week.
Yeah. The worst kept secret outside of all of Sony's secrets.
Yeah, so why isn't Sony talking about the PlayStation 4?
They're waiting until they have a final name for it and a final design for it, and then they're going to let somebody leak that.
Well, we don't think Orbis is going to stick.
Yeah, you know, I do not think you're going to see Sony Orbis out there.
That would be amazing.
I think you just need to get some interviews going and see if they'll just
slip them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know how when a new system launches, they'll try and like Super Mario 64 for N64. If it was called Orbis, how could they tie in like God of
God
Orbis?
God of Orbis.
God of Orbis. Love it.
Okay, there's a screenshot that was posted in Ubisoft forums that could be a new Prince of Persia game. So
hold on to your hats. This is an exciting announcement. I don't think we'll ever see this franchise again.
This is the screenshot. Let's take a look at it here. Now,
what's going on? This was just posted in an official Ubisoft forum. Someone's like, oh, it's a screenshot of the new, a reboot of Prince of Persia.
Yeah, and it was just some guy. Like, if you go to his forum history, he's been on that forum for years, just posting, like, normal forum things. Hey, guys, I'm on the internet. And all of a sudden, he's just teasing throughout the day that, oh, we're going to see a leak on Monday. Just kidding. Here it is. And he just posts this screenshot of what looks like Assassin's Creed Egypt.
Yeah.
And the dude looks like a big buff Kratos.
Like a big dumb Kratos guy. Not a fan.
This,
not a fan
of how the screenshot, this guy looks. There's a caption on it, right? Like, actually, on the screen. And it's like POP 02.
Yeah.
Prince of Persia 02.
It's running at a stunning 13 frames per second.
Wow, dang. The future.
Did you mention already? It looks very Assassin's Creed-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in terms of like, hey, there's a crowd there, and you know, it's just all Ubisoft games are starting to have that look where they all just kind of start to look and feel similar, and it's not surprising if this leak is true.
Yeah, it's probably on Anvil next, probably running that Assassin's Creed engine.
They already rebooted Prince of Persia in 2008.
Did not go well though.
It had people that liked it. Hillary Goldstein.
It went okay. And they tried to reboot it again, and that's where the name Zero comes from. Prince of Persia Zero was supposed to be like a modern day reboot.
Which is like these images that came out before E3.
Yeah, those are supposedly from a teaser.
Yeah, we don't know if this is correct. Yeah. But yeah, this is supposed to be a more modern take on Prince of Persia.
Sure, and visually those look kind of similar.
Yeah, so I don't know. This screenshot exists. But the Prince of Persia movie came out in 2010.
Right.
And there was a game to go along with that, right?
Yes.
Kind of. It was not officially
linked. It was the same
title, right? Yeah. No. So the game was Forgotten Sands, because it was a sequel to Sands of Time.
Yes.
It wasn't actually connected to the movie, but like visually it was the exact same thing, and it came out alongside it. So, yeah, it was kind of the movie tie-in.
It was back to traditional Prince of Persia mechanics. Yeah. None of this light seed BS. Nolan North can't die. Get out of here.
And this character looks exactly like Jake
Gyllenhaal. Friend of the show, Kari Wahlgren.
Yeah.
The princess in that game. I don't know, it seems like Ubisoft doesn't know what to do with this franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems really indecisive, right? Because this is the third reboot since 2008 that we've heard of.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What's the one on Xbox Live Arcade? Prince of Persia.
Classic.
Classic.
And it's just a remake of the original.
Yeah.
That one's really good.
That game is awesome.
Is it on PSN too?
Yep.
Check that one out.
Speed run that thing in like an hour.
Greg, there's a couple of collections coming to that PlayStation 3 there.
There are, finally.
There's a God of War collection called God of War Saga.
Because they've already put out the God of War collection.
I know.
So they can't call it the God of War collection. It's got to be
the God of War collection was just two PSP games, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they did God of War collection, so there was God of War collection, which was God of War 1 and 2. Then they did God of War Origins, which was the two PSP games. Okay. Now they're putting those together with God of War 3 in the God of War saga.
So it's all of them. It's every God of War.
Now it's every God of War.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. Five games on one disc is good for at least $29.99.
That's the thing. All the wording in this is kind of hazy. It's like, all these games are starting at $30. It's like, are they going up? And they don't say one disc, so it'll be interesting to see if there are. Because God of War 3, I remember, almost filled up a Blu-ray, if I'm wrong. So, I mean, how are you going to shove all this stuff in?
Yeah.
Get a hold of a giant sleeve of them, a good old box set. Remember those?
Yeah.
Get some exclusive content there, right? There's some other jazz in there.
Yeah, then there's bonus content. They don't say what the content is.
Yeah. And they're doing the same thing with Infamous.
Infamous collection as well. Infamous 1 and 2 and
Festival of Blood.
Festival of Blood.
And then I think there's extra. Yeah, extra missions are on there and additional character costumes. So all those GameStop pre-orders you didn't get before.
Additional weapon styles too.
Oh, yeah.
What are the weapon styles?
The Gigawatt Blades. These are all pre-order bonuses that they put out a long time ago.
Okay.
Man, the thing I want to know,
of course, is are there new trophy lists for all these?
Yeah, that's.
Is there just one giant trophy list? I'll jump back and play. I'll do Infamous 1 and 2 again.
Did you just say you liked Festival of
Blood? Yeah, Festival of Blood was so good.
I liked Festival of Blood a lot,
The fastest selling PSN game of all time.
You reviewed that, you gave that one a 7.5.
Colin did.
Colin.
He wasn't as impressed with it as I was.
So that's like the Undead Nightmare thing where they added zombies or added vampires to a game that previously didn't have monsters.
Sure,
I mean, and other supernatural stuff.
It was, you know, it's one of those things that I think is interesting and I'd like to see more games do. Like, I like add-on DLC that's telling a different story, and this was set in the universe and it made sense. You know, Zeke was there basically telling a Halloween story to a girl in a bar trying to pick her up. Mm-hmm. And so then you went and played through that. And like, I'm down with that. I'd love more stuff like that. Yeah. I'd love to get more content rather than have to wait the 2 years for the next sequel and go from there.
It did something that DLC rarely does too, where it's like, here's a bunch of new powers that are completely unrelated to everything that you know about this character. And it's super fun.
You bit people, Damon.
Yeah. Ate them alive.
Gross. It was a good episode of True Blood last night.
Yeah, I like that last one.
Were there electricity powers in?
How much nudity?
A little bit.
Yeah, actually.
All right. Well.
I haven't seen Newsroom though, or Breaking Bad, so don't ruin that for me.
Both were great.
Breaking Bad is very good.
I figured it. And Breaking Bad's awesome.
Breaking Bad had a knife party in it.
Really?
Night, yeah.
Yeah. I'm so behind.
Before we run to lunch, let's answer this email from Dominar Rigel, which is a pretty epic name.
Email him back and ask if we're pronouncing that right. He can read it on his podcast.
Okay. He says, I'm a long-time listener. You know, it's just one of these days we're going to have people saying, I'm a long-time viewer.
Should we, do you want to acknowledge that this is something new, that we're doing this?
People are watching it. I mean,
they don't know.
They're watching going, wait a minute. Something's going on here.
Something is different about this podcast. What if they're listening on a Friday and they didn't watch it?
Well, we explained it last week, but I mean, you give the...
They had their chance.
Who do you think we need to address? The long-time GameScoop fans or the new people watching the show?
Doesn't matter, everybody.
Okay.
Game of the Rain Cloud, you guys want to have fun.
Dominar asks, will people be able to buy a digital copy of Halo 4 from the Xbox Marketplace at launch?
No, that's not going to happen. No. Microsoft has never done day-and-date digital retail releases. Gears of War 2, I think, was the closest they came, and even then it was like 6 months apart. Mm.
Yeah, it blows my mind that like for all of the things Xbox Live gets right, that's the one thing they haven't gotten yet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sony's been doing a bit of that on PSN, right? Yeah,
well,
yeah.
And Vita, every Vita game.
Yeah, but nothing on Xbox.
And even Nintendo now is starting with New Super Mario Bros. 2 this month.
What's going on?
Day and date digital, like.
We'll have to reach out to Brian Hall at Microsoft and ask if the next Xbox is going to have day and date digital releases of all their big games.
Not Brian, he talks about everything.
I know. Welcome back to GameScoop. I'm joined by Justin Davis, Brian Altano, and of course, Andrew Goldfarb in the kids' chair.
Back, yep.
We already have an update on our Microsoft story from yesterday, or 10 minutes ago, depending on how you're consuming this entertainment. Of course, Microsoft referenced the new Xbox for the first time, Microsoft employee Brian Hall, general manager of Windows Live. Now Microsoft is backtracking. This is correct, Andrew?
Yeah. Backtracking as much as is possible to backtrack, yes.
So we have a quote from Microsoft. Microsoft responded to you. Mm-hmm. They provided you this quote. I'll read it here. The comments to The Verge were not understood in their intended context. When Brian mentioned a new wave of products, he was referring to the full lineup of products coming later this year from Microsoft, including Windows 8, Office, Windows Phone, and of course our fall Xbox update, which will bring a host of new consumer experiences like Xbox Music, video games, and Windows 8 and Xbox Smart Glass.
Also, the next Xbox.
Yeah, yes, I mean, this is the worst way I think they could have handled it, because it's like all they had to do was just not comment. Or just say, yeah, there's a new Xbox, but we're not going to say anything about it yet. We'll announce it in the future. Something, some like vague comment. But by doing it this way, it makes them seem so backwards, and like it's hard to trust them when they say stuff like that.
This really makes me laugh. I mean, I guess Brian Hall, is that his name?
Yeah, he was the original.
So I guess maybe Brian Hall could have misspoke. Okay, fair enough. He meant to say the Xbox update. He said the next Xbox, but he blatantly said the next Xbox.
Well, he said the new Xbox.
The new Xbox was his exact quote. And then they're like, no, we have Office products, and we have Windows Phone. And it's like, what are you talking about?
No, we're not working on a sequel to something that made billions of dollars.
No.
Yeah, James Cameron's hanging up all the cat suits from Avatar 2. We're just going to put those in the rafters.
So I don't think
that won't make any money. We're not going to do that again.
I don't know if you know how Avatar was made. I don't think there's too many cat suits.
It was made using the technology that's going to be powering the next Xbox in stores next fall.
Confirmed. Do consoles come out in sequels? You said a sequel too.
My brain doesn't process things normally.
The Super Nintendo was the Nintendo Entertainment System 2.
Yeah. Sony consoles do. PlayStation 2.
That's true, actually.
3,
that's true. That's sequels, yeah. So now I want to see a prequel to the Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox Zero.
Not with worse graphics. That would be amazing.
Like an 8-bit system. Yeah.
And they could get a bunch.
Everyone's mind.
They could get a bunch of like devolutions of games, like the Team Fortress 2D. Did you guys ever see that?
I didn't. But that sounds great.
Someone demade like demakes are.
Let's cut to B-roll.
Yeah. Someone.
B-roll!
Is that what you see Disgusto shout
sure.
every time?
Every single time.
How many times will you do that before it gets old?
Probably no more. It's okay, probably already
just
old.
Just got old.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably done. What were you saying?
It's a really popular thing in the indie community to demake games.
Yes.
So they take these games and then demake them into, you know, sort of older versions. And one of my favorite ones was Team Fortress 2D. Or I don't know if that's its exact name, but they made the whole game with all nine classes, but it's in 2D, not 3D. So, if they did a prequel.
Imagine if we had some of those right here in our studio.
It's true. You were talking about maybe doing
some more of those. Oh, I legitimately didn't get the joke. I'm on board.
Welcome to Earth, Gold Farm.
You know, you mentioned D-makes and sort of like retro looks. That the sort of retro pixel art look is very hot right now.
It is.
And I'm very happy about that. There's a couple iPad games that you and I are both enjoying right now. One of them is WizOrb, which is like Arkanoid with RPG elements, and it's awesome. It was previously released on Steam, and it's a PlayStation Mini, I believe.
Yeah, an Xbox Indie, I think.
Now it's on iPad and iPhone, and it's awesome.
Yep.
It's really, really good.
WizOrb's great.
And then there's also
10 million.
Yes.
Is this game, and it's spelled with the actual just numbers, so 1 and 0, 0, 0, 0.
How many zeros is that?
I can't count the number of zeros that
7
is.
Zeros.
Really?
You're like Rain Man?
Wow. No,
I don't think that quite is on the same level as Rain Man.
Okay, good point.
I'm gonna spell these. Raise your hand if you're single. I'm gonna just
give us.
Thanks, everybody.
Give us the 30-second spiel on 10 million.
Sure, so 10 million is a puzzle RPG hybrid. It's like Puzzle Quest, or you know, there's been a few games like that, but its core mechanic is sort of sliding rows and columns, which I think Chuzzle did that.
That's a gross game?
It's a podcast Chuzzle? Game. How gross does the game Chuzzle sound?
Yeah.
And how close is that to some...
Oh, man, my girl came over last night and we totally Chuzzled.
Right?
Is it a verb?
Have you ever Chuzzled that?
Yeah.
I'm going to Chuzzle that.
I'm sorry, please continue with our 30-second spiel on 10 million.
B-roll!
So you slide rows and columns, and you have to match up three. And if you match like three swords, you do damage. Or if you match three, you know, items, you might get an item. And
you guys can't see how awesome it looks right now.
Really, really cool 8-bit style. And then you sort of go until every enemy, you're moving left to right, and every enemy that hits you moves you farther and farther back. And you know, if you fall off the back of the screen, then you lose. So you're really trying to survive as long as you can. And you earn these, stone and wood and gold, and you spend that to buy power-ups and, equip your character and get more powerful weapons and achievements. So 10 million is a...
It's legit.
Yeah. It's been on the App Store a little bit, but it's kind of blowing up just now.
Cheap?
Yeah, it's $1.99, I think, I hope. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's $1.99.
That's what WizOrb is, too, I believe.
Yeah. And we're going to be, I'm going to be doing some more stuff about it soon, but check it out.
Thanks, Justin.
Uh-huh.
So we may have our first look at Wii U box art. Mm. And this is what it looks like.
Wow.
What do we think? Obviously, this is the same Assassin's Creed 3 art we've seen.
It is.
Now with this blue and yellow stuff at the top, which, as Andrew Goldfarb pointed out.
Who?
Andrew Goldfarb. Looks very similar to the top of the GameCube box art.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. The first thing I thought when I saw it. Yeah. It's definitely sort of, I would imagine that's trying to throw back to the GameCube box art. And what I like about it, I don't know if you have the pictures here, the Target and GameStop listing showed that it's the case itself, the box, is that light blue color.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I didn't print out that photo, but
yeah, so they're sort of like, well, I mean, it's interesting.
Those have to sit in your apartment. Like.
It's true.
Well, so you don't like it.
I mean, I hadn't heard that part. I didn't realize that the plastic was supposed to be that same color, too. No, I'm not a fan of that.
It's iconic. Like I like when people do that because, like, you know, the Xbox. If I see a green DVD case, I know it's the original Xbox. If I see a transparent one, I know it's 360.
That's true.
That was carried on from the original Xbox. It had the green color scheme, and Wii boxes are white.
Yes.
So they're not getting that same sort of legacy.
They should be like white with blue stripes or something.
Well, they had to do at least one thing to differentiate this system from the last one. This is it. Blue boxes, which worked out really well for the Vita.
Yeah.
Do we know, do they say what size they are? Are they going to be normal DVD size?
Just DVD size. It looks like, yeah.
I'm a big fan of...
4 feet tall.
That's not practical at all. I can't even fit those in my Civic.
Where are you driving all your games to?
I don't know that I'm crazy about this.
Yeah, the yellow...
Yeah, the yellow. I don't like the yellow band. Yeah. I think, why not just leave it clean blue? I don't know what they're doing. I think it's kind of interesting seeing like a new box art type revealed because this might be one of the last times that happens. Like, I mean,
it's true.
How many physical boxes are there really going to be moving forward? So,
well, there'll be the PlayStation 4 and the Durango, that'll probably be it.
Nintendo themselves are rolling out new Super Mario Brothers 2 this week
with a downloadable
option. So that's really the first for them too. So
I assume I think they've said Wii U is the same thing also.
Yeah, it's awesome. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
I actually kind of like this box art for Avengers Battle for Earth.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I have no idea if this game will be any good, but good on you, Ubisoft.
Good on Ubisoft.
Sure.
This is single.
We have a question from listener Kevin Garaventa.
It's a beautiful name.
Good name.
Yeah.
It's Italian?
What does it mean in Italian?
Sure.
He says, hey guys, he's got a question about the Ouya. You remember the Ouya.
I do.
I've heard of it.
Ouya, I do.
With more and more news coming out about the Ouya, I really don't like saying that name.
No, it's not easy.
Yep.
It's open-ended programming possibilities. Do you think it could finally be a way to easily emulate some of our favorite old games that would otherwise never see the light of day again? Yes.
Yes, yeah. Right?
Because it's an Android console.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so that's, we were talking about this a little bit earlier before we flipped the cameras on, and it is an Android console, and there's already Android emulators. So, I don't know if they'll work exactly one-to-one or if the architecture will be exactly the same, but there's already emulators for a lot of old consoles on there. It's a pretty powerful device. It's got a Tegra chip in there, so a Tegra 3 NVIDIA chip, so it'll probably run. I don't know what generation that'll get them up to, but certainly, any older games will be able to run on there flawlessly, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's been a couple announcements like this game will be a launch title for the
Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah.
Like, but what it gets already.
That's so arbitrary.
Exactly.
On day one, every game that's ever been released will be a launch title for the Ouya.
So it actually becomes a little bit, emulators and, ROMs are obviously not legal, but if I have a big stack of NES games and I want to play them on my computer, I usually don't feel too bad about hooking something like that up. But on Ouya, if those games do become available, if companies like Square Enix get on board, they're releasing more of their games on the platform, then that's more, like if you have the option to buy it.
I don't know, what's your thought on games that you just have no way of playing otherwise?
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably kind of okay with it. I mean, I don't think morals and law
probably
always stack
kind
up.
Kind of.
That's very, yeah, I'm making some equivocations.
He's telling
there.
The cops, he's just saying that. Probably, but not definitely.
No, I think morals and law aren't always the same, and they don't always match up. And if there's a game you can't buy, you have no way to play it, it's still illegal to download a ROM of it. You're not allowed to do that, but I don't think many people would have a moral problem with
it. And isn't it a shame if, like, in the situation that you're describing, where a game is, it's old and the company that made it is no longer in business, it doesn't belong to anyone anymore, there's no way to legally own the game. Isn't that a shame that nobody is playing that? A group of people spent part of their lives making this product and now it's just gone, nobody's playing it.
It's effectively dead to the world. Like even old songs and stuff like that, you'll find ways of hearing them.
Yeah, sure. I think the idea of anything being lost like that, that's part of why I like ROMs and like emulators, is because it sort of preserves this stuff for the future. I've been reviewing cell phone games for a long time, and I used to review flip phone games, like old games on Java flip phones. And those games were not great. They're not, it's not like these are classics that people are going to want for years and
years.
They're
not an 8.5.
They're not an 8.5. They're no Wizorb. But it's still strange to me that, hundreds of people made these mobile phone games, these cell phone games for, years, for 5-10 years, and they're just gone now.
Those are gone forever.
Or like the click-wheel iPod games. Like people develop those games.
Exactly. There's these weird oddities that, things like emulators can preserve and ROMs can preserve that, you can't buy them anymore. You can't find them anymore. The companies are all out of business. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that is just strange to me. Like if you have a physical cart, you can hold on to that forever. But as things go digital, I'm glad to sort of see some people keeping up the...
There's always like one or three weird dudes a year who are like, oh, I'm bringing back those click-wheel games. I'm doing this project.
Yeah, there's still a Dreamcast
I got a Kickstarter project to bring back the click-wheel games.
What were your favorite games like when they were worse? Let's find out.
Yeah, Square Enix made like a Final Fantasy game for click-wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some good games on the click-wheel iPod, actually. Yeah.
Like what?
There's a game called Song Summoner where it was like Final.
Wasn't that a Final or Square Enix?
That might be the one I'm thinking about.
It was like Final Fantasy Tactics, where you, it was like that. It was a 3/4 overhead view, and you moved your soldiers around to turn-based battles. But the stats of your soldiers were determined by the songs on your iPod. Like a song would become a soldier in the game, and it would algorithmically like make that.
So
soldier.
Like. What was the old game, Monster Rancher?
It was a little bit like that.
Yeah, you would put a music CD in your PlayStation, and it would generate a monster based on the music.
Yeah. It's like that.
It's pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I kind of want to play that now.
Okay, so let's actually start a Kickstarter to bring back.
Sure. Song. I want to see what kind of monster LL Cool J's mama said knock you out would create.
Right.
That song specifically and nothing more.
That's the only song in your app.
How much money? How much?
Shut the Kickstarter down. We've reached our goal.
We've restarted 99 cent goal. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Sorry, I'm getting back into it. Segments cut together. I don't know what's happening.
Listeners and viewers, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like David Dominguez Gadsden did.
Ooh, good name.
Great name.
Yeah. David says, it seems your reaction to both the names Ouya and Wii U are similar, but if you had to choose just one, which would it be, and which are you more excited for?
Wii U.
So, the name.
Yeah.
You like the Wii U better than
Yeah,
Ouya.
It's already something I know. I'm used to it. Ouya yeah. sounds like something Marines are shouting right before the Ouya!
Anyway.
I guess I'd
give a slight edge to Wii U over Ouya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ouya's bad, but I mean, Wii U is also really bad.
It isn't like, really bad. It's like PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3. It's piggybacking off what already worked. But we all got over how bad the Wii sounded at first.
Sure. Yeah, all right, what about this? Which one do you guys think we'll actually have to talk about more in the next 2 years?
Wii U.
Ouya's just like...
You don't think Ouya will be a big deal? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe we'll be writing stories like Wii U not selling, Wii U in last place, Wii U not doing good, Ouya no longer exists.
What names did they reject when they were trying to come up with the name of their console, when they came to Ouya?
Yippee-ki-yay,
like
motherfucker.
I know, like, they had, like, their meetings, like, okay, we've narrowed it down to three names. We have mm-hmm. Twirtle, we have... or Ouya.
I think Chuzzle was taken,
all the good names Chuzzle, are taken. Yeah. All the good names are taken, Damon. What would you and me are going to go out and make a system. What are we going
to
call it?
We're not doing that. That's not our job. Okay. Our job is just to make
the
fun of
play
it.
Cube. Oh, just make
fun of it? The Play Cube would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, just call it that. Play Box.
The Playbox.
The Game Square.
The Playbox 4.
It's an Android console.
Where were the first three? No one knows.
The Cheetah.
The Cheetah?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, with that, huh?
They used to have cool names for consoles. The game, or the Dreamcast, was codenamed Katana, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was a great name. Yep.
The Jaguar was actually named the Jaguar. It was not awesome.
It's an okay name, though.
Not an okay controller. That was too many buttons for me.
Jaguar! Jaguar! Jaguar!
This is Andrew Hanwell. He has three questions. I'm getting a little greedy there. But a little.
Greedy times three.
I will allow it. Number one.
That's not how greed works.
Look how buff he is. Yeah, you can see it now.
Buff. No, it's all, this is all food.
You want to keep pretending you're fat. Keep it up.
I wonder if I can do a side-by-side comparison.
Well, that helps right in my favor for sure.
Anyway, Andrew Hanwell, number one.
Means with an old version of you, jackass, not with me. clearly.
Is there any way to do a side-by-side comparison?
Type A person is fat. Is type B fat
as
well?
If only we could show what people can see right now with their own eyes, unless they're listening.
I'm sorry.
Bad Watch Game Scoop.
Yeah, oh, you.
Here we go. Number one, next time Goldfarb is on Game Scoop. Can you upgrade him to the couch? He works so hard.
Someday.
You know, like we said yesterday, if you get to the studio sooner, maybe you'll get a spot on the couch.
I'm always the last one here because I'm usually writing a story and I like run up. I was all out of breath when I came out. Yeah.
Brian is bouncing tennis balls off the wall. Right? Waiting.
Is he implying the people on the couch don't work hard?
No. It's just
because absolutely.
You're his boss too, right?
I tell him to sit there.
Question number two, Damon. How do you do your hair? Well, I'll tell you, Andrew. I take a shower in the evening. And then I put it forward and I let it dry that way. And then I sleep on it. And that number one helps to flatten it out a little bit. I have very wavy hair. Number two, it gives time for my natural oils to return to my hair. Because your natural oils actually make your hair look really cool. When you wash it, it cleans your hair, but it also dries it out. Mm.
And when you come in the morning, it's not done.
Yeah,
and
because
you go to the bathroom
ride...
for 1 second and you come out and it's perfect.
Like the Man of Steel himself.
Yeah, because I ride my scooter to work and my helmet would flatten it again. So when I get to work, I put a little product in it and I use the Axe Messy Paste, or the Messy Look Paste. And that's just a matter of running my fingers through it a couple times and then I get this.
It looks good. Yeah. I take the shower in the morning.
That's exactly what I do with my hair.
That also saves me time in the morning. Because I like to just roll out of bed.
But then my hair gets all poofy and
No, but I sent you that product. What was that?
Morning Head. I could use Morning Head.
Yeah, there's a thing called Morning Head.
I love Morning Head.
Have you seen this product?
It's awesome.
No. It's like a shower cap that you pour a little bit of water in the morning. And then
you simply add water to it, rub it around, make sure that water absorbs, and put it on your head. Once it's on your head, you rub it around for a few seconds. Voila, your hair is wet. like you just got out of the shower.
Do this, then you put it on your head and do this, and it just wets your hair. Yep. It doesn't get water all over you or the sink or anything like that. And then you can style it like that. I will buy morning head. Fine.
Yeah. Let's do a video of you.
I've always been paying for morning head, if you know what I mean.
I never had to pay for morning head.
Just in the morning, specifically?
Yeah. Okay. At night, everybody's drunk. They don't care.
How are we doing on time here? Andrew's third question is, can you throw in some random B-roll of the NES game Commando? It's one of my favorites.
There's a soundtrack for the B-roll.
Okay. Altano made a soundtrack for B-roll yesterday.
Thinking I'm showing the B-roll now. Do that. Maybe you should provide more of the soundtrack.
Shooting all the babies! Shooting babies! Baby war!
They were Marines, but war broke them. And their only enemy were children of the night. Babies of the day!
Stop killing us!
And we're back. This is Aiden. Actually, he goes by Sexy Panther Time.
Oh, okay.
Well, who doesn't?
So he doesn't like go Aiden by anything, already. Man. No one's calling him that.
You know, yesterday,
how do you tell a girl you like her?
Yesterday, we were talking about Song Summoner, the iPod Click.
Yeah, the Click Wheel.
Yeah, Click Wheel game. He reminds us that it is still available for iPhone, for iPod Touch. It's in iTunes. It's $10, though.
What?
Yeah, it's called, the song is called
that's
Song
a square
Summoner.
Thing, yeah.
Does it have a simulated Click Wheel?
I don't know. Maybe it does, actually.
It's not no-buy.
I understand the new format, and yet I was like, how did he write in about that already?
What?
And I realized, the future.
The scoop's coming so
quickly. They're inside
now.
The show with us.
Yeah, that's true. This is Robin Holm. It's Robin from Stockholm.
Oh, so you think he's like, is he abbreviating?
I don't know, but he says it's
Greg America.
Greg America?
Yeah. Isn't that how like Leonardo da Vinci was from Vinci? Isn't that how that worked?
Am I making that up? Sit on the couch.
Would that be Battalion?
Yes.
No, what?
Anyway. I don't know.
Okay. Is that your race? It's where you are.
Anyway, Robin says,
Ryan Erzy.
I was just wondering, I have a thought. It's that I have a very close friend. He downloads games sometimes, and I get kind of angry. And when I say to him, stop downloading games, he's like, I don't care. He don't care about the makers of the games, doesn't get any money. Am I weird that I say him to stop?
Well,
if you say it like that, you're a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Stockholm.
He kicks in the door, he's like, stop downloading these games. He's like, 85%, you can't stop me. He's like, I'm gonna pull the cord out. It's a whole action movie sequence.
He's obviously talking about pirating games.
Yes.
Because downloading games isn't really a problem. We download games to our Xbox or our PlayStation.
Throws his computer out the window.
I don't know. If your friend doesn't care about compensating people for his entertainment, I guess he's just kind of a jerk. Yep. I don't know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't care about STDs either, so the world will catch him someday.
Stop downloading those STDs to your groin. I don't care about the people I'm going to be sleeping with in the future. This is Ben O'Donnell. He wants to know, this is a more serious question.
Oh, okay.
Would Sony be wise to release Orbis before Durango, even if it means pushing their expected release date forward to try to get a push on sales?
Is this the entirety of the question?
Well, it's that much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's similar to what you're talking about.
Suspicious double dipping situation. Yeah, it's totally in their favor to do that. They have to be, I think, out in front competing with Microsoft this time.
So that was, Microsoft had a head start this generation.
Yep, that's the whole reason.
Big help.
Yeah, it was, you know, the Xbox 360 was overheating and breaking and stuff, but it was the only thing on the market, so people were buying it, and they had HDTVs all of a sudden. They wanted to see
awesome
pictures.
It was
awesome
a full year head start on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that was like,
and then when the PlayStation 3 finally came out, they were like, $600!
You'll get a second job to play Resistance Fall of Man!
It was alongside the Wii, too, and the Wii caught on so quickly and was sold out everywhere. Yeah. Like, man.
Well, this is the same company that just launched a system in February, so
plus,
not the smartest.
We're hearing a lot more about
when did you launch it?
I don't know, maybe before the holidays instead of after?
That's good, yeah.
It's a little cheat code selling some shit.
We're hearing a lot more about the Orbis about the Durango than the Orbis, you know.
Yes.
Well, you know, we're not seeing photos of Orbis dev kits.
But historically Sony has been locked down on rumors and leaks and stuff, so that's probably why we're not seeing
nothing ever leaks. It's also that Sony they own a lot of their studios too. Like, I mean, they have more. Microsoft doesn't have as many owned studios, and I think these leaks are more coming from third parties.
Yeah.
So I mean, it might just be that Orbis development kits aren't out as widely as Durango.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, now we are joined by Japanese game enthusiast Caleb Lawson.
Oh, is that my title now?
Yes.
Okay.
I have deemed it so to talk about a Japanese game, a troubled Japanese game called The Last Guardian. Obviously, The Last Guardian was announced back in 2009, has been delayed several times. It's had some problems, and then today we learned that its trademark has apparently been abandoned. We saw this news on website Trademarkia, which Mitch doesn't think is a real thing.
Cannot possibly be a real thing.
Since the planet where trademarks come from.
Yeah. The listing says, on Monday, August 6th, 2012, that was this week.
It was Monday. Yeah, Monday.
Status on The Last Guardian trademark changed to abandoned, no statement of use filed. First of all, what does this mean?
It means that someone should go buy it right now.
Yeah,
go buy it. It's like $159.
Go buy it and release The Last Guardian yourself.
Yep.
To be fair, I think it says you can apply, right?
Yes, exactly. I think we don't know what it means. I mean, this could be like, oh, we gave up on this project, but I feel like that's probably not the case because that, you know, we've heard from Shuhei Yoshida, we've heard from so many Sony executives that it is still in development, but it's not good. I mean, I think you were saying from some cursory research, it seems like this at least indicates it won't be coming out before 2013.
Yeah, I mean, like, none of us are trademark law experts, so, you know.
Oh, well, Mitch, oh, Mitch, that's why we brought Mitch on today.
But Canadian trademark law is different than US trademark law.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sure. But just from, you know, 5 minutes of a little bit of research and digging in a bit.
What were your findings?
So apparently that a company can file an extension on their trademark for up to 3 years. And this is actually all according to Twitter user Superannuation, who's kind of an internet sleuth.
A Kotaku columnist also.
Yeah, apparently the notice of allowance for The Last Guardian was issued in January 2010, meaning that 3 years would be up in January 2013. And a company can hold the trademark and extend it for that period of time as long as they're able to provide an example of commercial use, which means that if the game wasn't going to come out before January 2013, then there was no point in continuing to try to extend it, I guess is what I was able to figure out.
Can they still renew it?
So they can buy it again.
Apply.
They can reapply for it.
Okay.
So I guess it's either, it's lapsed and maybe they just need to reapply.
So is it possible that this just indicates that Last Guardian is not coming out in the US? Or that the name is changed?
It could be another possibility.
Maybe, yeah. Name change is one big possibility, right?
Yeah.
But the immediate signal is like, oh, this game is dead. Like, this game is not happening now. Because it's been troubled for some time.
That's the worst case scenario.
How likely do you guys think a name change would be?
I can't imagine at this point. Or maybe, unless that game was basically canceled and then started over and it has become something totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, someone on NeoGAF pointed out this could also be an indicator that the original trademark, which was for a PlayStation 3 game, maybe is no longer the case. Maybe this is Vita, maybe this is next gen. I mean, it depends on how specific the trademark got.
I mean, no one's seen that game for years. I mean, I remember
like 2 years.
Ryan Clements saw it.
Yeah, I feel like it was like 2000.
Early 2010.
Was that TGS 2010? Yeah. Or was he
No,
TGS
I think he just went.
Went. It was, yeah, yeah, but that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't at TGS 2011. It wasn't at E3 2011. It wasn't at
E3 this year.
E3 2012, yeah.
Gameplay has never been shown publicly. It's just been trailers.
Just here's a dog, cat, flying rabbit thing, and a kid.
Well, so people were excited about it because of the developer's pedigree, right?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guys made Eco, which you just said is your favorite game of all time.
Yeah, I will go on record saying Eco is absolutely my favorite game of all time.
I've actually never played Eco, but I played Shadow of the Colossus.
Same here. Yeah.
Of course. And like that's, you know, probably one of the 10 greatest games that's ever been made, one of the games that should be in every gamer's library. You know?
Yeah, I think both those games are just super, super personal, and people have really personal reactions to them. Which is sort of why Eco is my favorite game of all time, because of the personal reaction I had to it. You know, I think a lot of people, they'll sit down to play it after hearing me say this, and they'll be like, oh, it's 4 to 6 hours long, and you're just a little boy escorting a girl. But, right, there's Team Eco in both of those games really did, I think, strike a chord with gamers, a real interesting emotional chord that a lot of times games aren't able to hit. Mm-hmm.
And those games are both available in the HD collection on the PlayStation 3, so they're easy to play now.
And they look awesome in
HD. Buy that thing. It's awesome.
For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. At this point, if it's still in development, do you think they should? It should be like a PlayStation 4 game?
Sure.
I mean,
why not?
I feel like it wouldn't. It probably can't look good if it's been in development since 2009, and then they suddenly expect it to be on next gen. It's like it probably hasn't been developed at
Eco
that
was
resolution.
Eco was a PS1 game. Mm. Eco came out on the PS2. I think the resolution was 320 by 240.
Oh my god.
God.
Okay. Yeah, because it was in development for PS1.
I mean, that would make a really amazing launch title. If we assume it's the same game that we all expect it's going to be, where you're that kid or the animal, and you have your wacky wild castle adventures, like, We all kind of want that, and to have that as a next-gen launch title would be awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like an iOS game, Wacky Wild Castle.
I'm sure
you have that one to take it to the bank.
You were just talking about Rule 34. I think there's another rule where, like, if you can put any combination of words together, and there's an iPhone game. Yeah. That's that, like Crazy Farmer Ninjas has got to be.
Oh my god, I would play that.
Yeah, it's got to be an iPhone game, right?
Also, just to clarify, I was talking about Rule 34 as a joke, not as any kind of.
Now everyone's Googling, like, The Last Guardian and Rule 34.
Yeah. Oh god.
It's all over.
I'm sure that.
Yeah.
if that doesn't exist, Eco surely does.
Well, speaking of another game that has its problems, maybe not as dire problems, but BioShock Infinite also.
You said dire and I got excited. That's me.
Dire problems.
Sorry, continue.
That's funny. Did you know, you ever heard the phrase, everyone has the same favorite word?
Really?
Their own name. I've heard that before.
Deep.
Anyway, BioShock Infinite. It was supposed to come out this October. And then was delayed until next year. Wasn't shown at E3. It's not going to be shown next week at Gamescom.
No.
So that didn't sound great because we still haven't seen much of that game, right?
So we've seen like very like scripted demos. We've seen things that are like very clearly being manipulated in a certain way, like hitting scripted moments. And we watched hands-off demos. At I watched one at E3 2011. I think there was one at Gamescom last year also. But it's. Like, it looks great, it looks really interesting and ambitious, but we've never been able to play it, and we've never really seen moments of it that seem like it would be a normal game to sit down and play and manipulate yourself.
When they delayed it, I mean, they pretty much said that they weren't going to show it at any of the trade shows, right?
Yeah.
They said, there's a quote from Ken Levine, he was like, when the next time people see it, we want to be like the product that will be in the box when we ship it.
Yeah, so the fact that it's not at Gamescom isn't really that big of a deal.
Sure. But I mean, it was also, what, like a 5 month delay.
It was originally debuted at Gamescom. Like we first saw, first saw Gamescom two years ago.
Yeah.
But now yesterday we found out that two of the developers have left Irrational Games. And they were pretty important people. It seemed like the director of product development and then the art director both left the project, like before it's done. So that doesn't sound good.
I mean, so as Mitch pointed out, the art director leaving, I think, is maybe less of a big deal because the art may be mostly done. You know, it's been in development for a long time. Maybe that was just somebody to move on.
Right.
Although they did replace him.
Sure, with the guy who is.
With the art director from BioShock,
BioShock 1.
Yes.
So Ken Levine tweeted about this. He said, Scott Sinclair, art director of BioShock 1, is back in the art director's chair for Infinite to bring it home. So that's.
So it does sound like there's still work to be done.
Yeah.
I think the bigger problem is the other gentleman, Gerritsen, I think his last name is?
Tim Gerritsen.
Yeah, so he was like the director of day-to-day operations. He was basically there like making sure people were doing what
he
they were
oversaw,
doing.
He oversaw the product development division of the company, directly managed the content creators for BioShock Infinite.
Wow, so that's somebody.
That's a high-up role.
Especially while they're in crunch trying to hit a release date, like it's not good for that person to step away, I would assume.
Have they filled that position yet?
They haven't publicly.
Yeah.
I mean, you would assume Ken Levine is just there supervising in a more hands-on way. Yeah.
Andrew, you're a BioShock super fan.
I am.
Where do you stand today on BioShock Infinite?
Like on what I think of it, or if I think it will come out?
All of that.
I'm still really excited about it. I think it seems incredibly ambitious and really cool. I hope it can. I mean, I don't know. I will admit that it is. It does make me nervous that we haven't seen it and played it. You know, because it's been for so long in development.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I have faith that it will come out someday. I'm not positive that it will come out on February 26th.
God, it looks cool though.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. I know.
Okay. Before we run to lunch, we have an email here from Luke Slade. He says, the other day you were talking about Wizorb for iOS. I noticed it was a PlayStation Mini. I don't have an iPhone or iPad. I assume it is the same game. Would you recommend it, or does it need to be played on a touchscreen? No, Luke, Wizorb is great on whichever platform. It's also on Steam if you want to play it on PC. This is the awesome 8-bit Arkanoid-style game with RPG elements. So whatever platform works best for you, play it as a PlayStation Mini. That game is great.
Wait, what are you playing now?
This is just test mode. It's called, this is direct mode.
Isn't
this is test mode.
Nintendo thought this would be a cool idea.
You know the story behind this, right?
This is how they got installed.
Yeah, this was their Trojan horse. I still don't understand how this left the laboratory. And people are like, kids will love this.
Have you seen the Japanese one? It's like white. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
And that never shipped with Gamacom, so it's like the rarest thing.
Huh.
So yeah, there's... I thought that was cool. That's good music, too.
It's great music, yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know why it says robot child.
I love the little NES controller holder there.
So he has the test, direct mode, and then the types of the game.
Is this the original like US version of the game? Was the title screen really Robot Gyro?
I don't know what's going on with that. That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. They must just not have changed it. Because it's so early.
The sticker on the cart says Gyro Mode.
Yeah.
That says Gyro Mode.
Hmm. Well, we have arrived at the end of GameScoop episode 255. I've been hosting GameScoop for 6 years. I've had my hetero life mate Greg Miller at my side for 5 of those years.
Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
5.5.
Yeah, 5.5.
Don't shortchange me on my hard time here at IGN.
I never would. It was time for a change. We thought this would be a good way to sort of mix things up, give you more GameScoop more often on a daily basis, reach a wider audience so we can now get the show onto YouTube. And we still provide the same hour-long audio podcast every Friday that people have loved.
How'd it go for you, Damon? What'd you think of this week?
I'm really excited about this.
This is fun. This is fun, yeah.
But I want to know what you guys think about it. You can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. Email us. Let us know what you think about the new format. If you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear them. You can also follow Greg and I on Twitter. We're very active there, and we like to engage with you guys there.
I'm assuming you're going to put the words there.
Nah, man, don't think so.
What am I touching, Damon? I'm touching nothing!
I put a male crotch up there that you were groping. And also, you guys have probably heard by now that Greg Miller recently received some news.
I did, Damon.
Yep.
I've been diagnosed with cancer. It's Hodgkin's lymphoma. They should cut to this camera. I gotta be ready for it this time. I can see it in the corner. Hodgkin's lymphoma. Don't freak out. I put up a blog yesterday about it. It was weird to write about, Damon, because I was thinking, it wasn't weird and it was, right? Like, I'm writing this blog and I'm writing about it, telling you, the viewer, you, the listener, you, the IGN reader, about what's happening with me. And I wasn't trying to do it from a conceited place of like, well, I'm Greg Miller and everyone needs to know about me. But it's like I always tell you, if you're new to the show, thanks to being on, YouTube and video now, I've been saying for years on podcasts, if you listen to the podcast, if you read the blog, if you follow us on Twitter, you're not just a fan, you're our friend. You know the most about us. Like, I mean, old school GameScoop fans, remember I broke my divorce on a GameScoop and stuff like that and all that stuff. And like,
this is episode 255. Fans have been listening to us talk about our lives for 255 hours.
you poor bastards.
You know a little something about us.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that when I got the news and I started telling my family and my friends and my phone book that I was able to express it to you guys too. Because for me especially this week sucked because it was like, okay, we're doing this new GameScoop thing and I've been your co-host, your Robin to your Batman forever. And like I wasn't on two of the shows. And one of them I think was an actual conflict with Beyond, which we're changing. And then the other one was I had to go to the doctor and I had to do all this other stuff. And so I don't want, if that has to happen down the path, I want to make sure people know why that's happening. It's not that I don't have... my dedication to IGN hasn't waned. I'm not going anywhere. I'm definitely not going to die. Don't worry about that. It was one of those things some people hear cancer, they think the worst, Damon. It's definitely not that. Hodgkin's lymphoma is like one of the most curable cancers from what I've been told. I still don't have my staging. I'm going through all the tests right now to figure out what stage of lymphoma I have and all that jazz. But even if it's stage 4 or whatever, I'll get through it and I'll be fine. I wanted to thank you personally. I put it up yesterday, Damon, and I was a bit naive about it. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, in my head, I'm like, I'm going to put up this blog. It's gonna explain stuff, and then there'll be comments, and then I'll just go about my day. I'll go back to building PS3 and building Vita.
No.
And no, I put it up, and then it was just like, every time I looked at Twitter, there was like 100 new tweets about it. I was trying to answer every one of the comments on the blog, and then it got up to like in the 700s, and then there were emails and direct messages and phone calls and texts and stuff, and like, it really blew me away. Thank you so much for your support. One of those things. I'm always here for you. It means a lot to me to know that you're always here for me.
I like the way David Jaffe put it.
Yeah.
He said he referred to it as a speed bump.
Yeah.
that you will overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's our Greg is a strong.
I'm good Midwestern stock.
Positive guy. Yeah. It will be a crappy thing that we all have to deal with for, the next 6 months. But we'll get through it.
Sure. Of course. Sure.
Thank you very much, listeners. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. This is IGN. How do we end this again? Thank you, Greg.
There it is. Do you want to go through everybody who was on the show week?
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you guys, everybody. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.